You have your Bibles. Turn with me, please, over to Hebrews chapter 4 and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 1. Hebrews 4 and verse 1. Therefore, let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, if we had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, it again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place and before your word so that we might be able to hear clearly what you have to say to us this morning. Our needs are as unique as we are, but we've all come today to hear from you. Sometimes the result is information or a reminder from your word of something that I need today. I'm going to use that today. Other times it's information, still true, still valuable, that I need to file away so that when I do need it, I'll know that I can go to your word, confidently understand what you have said, and apply it to a situation that I'm dealing with or struggling with. So, Father, we know that we are handling your word. May we handle it accurately, communicate it clearly, so that it can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there are two bodies of truth that I want to be really sure you leave with this morning. The good news is the first one comes right away. The second one comes at the end, which means you've got to pay attention in between. Freedom from the penalty of sin produces rest. If you are absolutely sure you will never be held accountable for sin, you can rest. But you have to be absolutely sure. Freedom from the power of sin also produces rest. If I can come up against any circumstance, understanding the Word of God and knowing what is true and knowing what is right and what I should do, and make the right choice, make the choice that reflects God's Word, then I can rest. I can be confident that I have made the right choice. Faith is the key to number one. Obedience is the key to number two. Let me put it to you this way. The security of my salvation, the fact that I know that I am born again, is based solely upon the finished work of Christ. I do not deserve it. Jesus loved me, he died for me, and by faith, I believe that, and am free from the penalty of sin. My security is based upon the finished work of Christ. The joy of my salvation, the assurance of my salvation, well, that's placed upon me in that when I am living a faithful, obedient life, making right, godly choices, I feel like a child of God. But when I slip into sin, when I'm careless, thoughtless, disobedient, I look and feel much less like a child of God. And I should. I'm supposed to. And there is no rest for the child of God. So there are two equations that are presented here for us this morning. The good news minus faith equals no rest. Or, as it's applied here, salvation. You see right away the point, don't you? You can know absolutely and clearly the plan of, the way of salvation, and not be saved. It's not about what you know. It's about what you believe. Therefore, verse 1, therefore let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. Why aren't you sure of your salvation? Why aren't you resting in the security of your salvation? For indeed, verse 2, for indeed we have had good news preached to us. God loves us. Jesus died for us. Those who believe that, accept it for themselves, will not perish but have everlasting life. For indeed we've had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we have believed, or we who have believed, enter that rest. Now let's stop right there for just a moment. Remember, the writer of Hebrews is writing to Jewish Christians. He's writing to Jewish seekers, Jews who are wondering about Jesus, wondering about this quote-unquote good news, wondering about the story. Remember, this is still current events with that this Jewish carpenter claimed to be the very Son of God, was crucified, buried, and rose again to prove that he is who he says he is, the very Son of God, the Savior of mankind. They're looking at that. Jews looking at that. But there were also Jews who heard, said they believed, are a part of the church, but are not genuine believers. They've not entered that rest truly. So all of this is written to them. That being said, there's a picture in the back of this that you and I might miss. What was the story in the Old Testament about Israel looking for rest? Remember, going into the Promised Land. God used Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt, and they were moving toward the Promised Land. And that's a whole other story, but remember, they were all looking toward rest. Did they all get there? No, they didn't. Why didn't they all get there? Because of unbelief. They all knew the story. They all knew the truth. Some of them even believed the truth. Remember, 10 of those 12 spies all said, yes, indeed, it's great. We just can't take it. They knew the truth. They believed the truth. They knew the truth, but they did not believe that God could take them in. They never got the rest of the Promised Land. So So that story is in the back of these Jewish readers as they're reading this. We might miss that altogether. So even though they've had the good news, and the application, of course, is the truth of the gospel. Even though they've had the good news, if they will not respond by faith, believing that that's true for me personally, there is no rest, there is no salvation. But remember the other half of this? There is also good news, the gospel, but if it is not coupled with obedience, there is also no rest or no joy, which I used earlier to illustrate the security and the sense of my security as a believer. Just as he has said, the last part of verse 3, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now here again, whether it's the story of Israel being led out of Egypt to the promised land, or now here in the book of Hebrews, Jewish believers wondering about who Jesus is, Jews wondering about who Jesus is and whether they can trust that he is in fact the very Son of God and the Savior. Now we have those who have looked at that and they have believed it and they're truly born again, but they're struggling with obedience. Now again, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but we have a lot of illustration in the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote of the struggles that Jewish Christians had. They came to faith in Christ genuinely, but the baggage that they carried was the law. We've spent our whole lives living up to this list of things to do, thinking that was necessary. Now you come along and tell me that that couldn't, and I realize that now, couldn't produce salvation, that I needed to respond by faith to the promise of a Christ, the Messiah, and see that in Jesus. But what do I do with these 613 laws that God gave us? The other 900 that the Pharisees put on top of that, what do I do with all these laws? And so they were still struggling. They were secure in the finished work of Christ, but there was no joy because they hadn't come to understand the position they had in Christ. And so they were constantly looking at this list of laws and do's and don'ts and requiring it of themselves and requiring it of others, and nobody was happy. Nobody was secure. No one had genuine joy in that struggle. So he reminds them in verse 4, God rested on the seventh day from all his works. We can go back, not just as Jewish Christians, but now as Gentile Christians, we can go back and read those first two chapters of Genesis and find that when God rested, it wasn't just a matter of resting from his creation, but resting from the fact that he has a plan that reaches out into eternity future, and it's all settled. It's all done. The design was set. It was finished. And if you can't look at Jesus as Savior and Lord, and see in him not just the Redeemer, but also the one who secures your salvation and who will in every step of the way provide you with the information you need to make the right choices, the encouragement through the Holy Spirit to make the right choices, at every turn to truly have joy. To truly rest in that salvation. Therefore, he says in verse 6, since it remains for some to enter it, you're not there yet, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. They knew, they believed, but they struggled with understanding that that was really all. That there wasn't something more they needed to do. Or if they failed in any way, they could lose it. And that's a theme that will run through this book that we will have to carefully understand. So here comes the challenge. Today, verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. As I prayed earlier, none of us comes into a service like this with identical needs. None of us is going to hear this truth and respond in exactly the same way. For some, most of you, I haven't said a thing you don't already know. But how you respond to this information again, how you respond today. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So let's take this. From the good news minus faith and good news minus obedience, and remind ourselves of these two equations. Truth plus faith equals rest. Salvation. Not only understanding that God loves you and Jesus died for you, but believing it. And in believing it, freedom from the penalty of sin. There's none righteous, all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Said many ways, Old Testament, New Testament. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So you can know the good news. That's great. Add to it faith, believing it, personalizing it, and the result is salvation, genuine rest. Because you see, if you add anything to that, even if you take that equation and say truth plus faith plus obedience, truth plus faith plus good works, truth plus faith plus anything equals salvation, there's no rest in that. Because you'll always wonder, did I fall short again? Did I do enough? But if salvation is the result of simply knowing the truth and believing the truth, then it's all wrapped up in the finished work of Christ. That's why the illustration here, on day 7, God rested because it was all done. So at the end of the day, you and I can rest because it's all done. My sin is forgiven. The penalty is gone. But also, we can take the good news, our salvation, and add to it an attitude of obedience. I am a child of God. I want to live like a child of God. What does that mean? Well, just think a little bit. Loving God with all you are and all you have? Loving one another? Who said that? Jesus did. Remember? Pharisee came and asked what were the most important laws, and Jesus gave him those two and said everything else falls under that. If you truly love God with all that you have and all that you are, and you love one another, you won't violate the other 612 laws. So we live obediently. And when I'm living obediently to what God's word has called me to, if I say I'm a child of God, and I'm living like a child of God because this is what the word of God says a child of God lives like, well, then I can rest too. So good news plus obedience also brings rest. So what would I like you to leave with this morning? Freedom from the penalty of sin produces rest. Freedom from the power of sin produces rest. Truth plus faith equals rest. Good news and obedience equals rest. God wants us to have confidence. But you do see in all of those equations, the center is what? The finished work of Christ. It all revolves around that. It doesn't revolve around you and anything you can do. It all revolves around the finished work of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately, communicated it clearly, so that your word can have your desired impact. There may be someone here today who, despite what they have said and what we have assumed or thought, maybe they need to make that simple, clear choice and finally understand that salvation is simply the truth of the finished work of Christ coupled with my faith, personal faith, belief. That and that alone provides the freedom from the penalty of sin. And maybe there are some, one or two, like me, who from time to time don't really experience the joy of salvation because of sin. Disobedience. I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm one of yours. But if I'm not choosing to act like it, if I'm not choosing to live obediently, that will not provide rest. And may, if I persist, will result in your discipline. Because I know, no matter how sinfully I might act, your love for me requires that you step in. Thank you, Father, for the reminder that you love us. You desire to have us as your children. And as Jesus told his disciples, that we might have life, and that we might have it abundantly. The joy of our salvation, the joy of obedience. We pray, we thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.